I can't believe I'm at this place in my life. It sounds like I'm about to do an ad for Vegamore. I'm like, but I need thicker hair. No, this is the show. Noah and I drank 2 bottles of wine last night and split a little can of wine.
What made you go to the can? After you drank the bottles, what made you open the can?
What made you lick the hand sanitizer? We drank the one bottle, and it's a thin bottle. And it was a low alcohol wine, really chuggable. I'm really into tiny bubbles lately. I don't want champagne. I want like a pet nat, little tiny bubbles. And then I was like, let's not drink anymore, but I'll split this little mini can, because we bought the can because it was also a tiny bubble pet nat. And I was like, that's a great way to see if we like it. And I was like, that way we'll just have the little can. I won't feel bad. And then I don't know how that second bottle got opened. And then a whole bag of those like black truffle, tartufo, whatever those chips are that you get at like fancy stores. And then I opened, I ate 2 bags of chips. I ate that. And then I ate a whole bag of Have a Corn chips. Fuck me. I don't know what we had a stressful day.
What's a pet nat?
It stands for Petit Natural. They're like tiny grapes. It's like a natural wine, like tiny bubbles. It's a very juicy wine. It's not the size of the grapes. Size of the bubbles. Tiny grapes make tiny bubbles. No? Okay. Well, this is cool sharing an office with my husband. tiny bubbles.
Okay.
It's just like, I don't know. Honestly, we went to the wine store and I was just like, just run it on the card.
Yeah.
It's a tasty, chuggable time. And I woke up this morning and I was like, you can't be this person. You cannot be the mother of 2. Because I'll tell you why we had a stressful day. You ever have one of those days that like starts out like, oh, it's, you know, yesterday was Easter. Like it was super nice. Everything was relaxed. And then things just ramp up. And all of a sudden you're like, oh no, is my world upside down? And everything was fine. I don't want to go into it. Everyone is, this is such like an influencer thing. Like everyone's safe, you guys. It's just a picture of me in a hospital bracelet. But like, thank you so much.
I don't want to talk about it right now, but if you could send me your well wishes.
Exactly. Send me your positive energy. Here's the God's honest truth. It's okay to drink 2 bottles of wine with your husband and eat 2 full bags of gourmet chips.
Yeah.
You just got to get up the next day and do your job. It can't be an all day, everyday thing.
I have a comment about your Easter, which is you posted a photo on Instagram stories and Nancy's hair looked so good. And I was like, do I want that exact hair color?
Oh yeah. You guys could do the same. You kind of have that. And she got bangs. It looks really good.
Yeah. It looks good. I was like, that's what I was trying to do. I didn't succeed, but she pulled it off.
I guess going back to the reason I brought this up is, sorry. There's so many parts of being a girl that when other women do things, sometimes you cringe because it's like, oh my God, like what is wrong with you? And sometimes you're just like, ugh, that's so lame because you haven't experienced it yet. Like if you are not a woman, like let's say you're in your early 20s and you don't have a baby, you probably don't want to hear like baby things. You know, and anything about baby culture as a 30-year-old woman, like you're probably not going to resonate with like menopause material. Just like if you're in your late 40s, you don't really want to hear about like some guy ghosting you and like going out and drinking vodka Red Bull. Like we all move into different places and I held absolutely no space for how hacky like white wine culture is because it's just not who I am. I don't need a drink at the end of the day. I would never pour white wine into a cup and like go to my kid's game. That's just me. Yeah. I don't do well with day drinking. But last night, as we were polishing off this second bottle of wine, like a piece of shit, I was like, oh, I get it now. Because it doesn't make you feel better, but it makes you feel like tasty. And I get it now. It's not going to be my personality. I will not do this all the time. I'm not going to say things like, mommy juice.
Ooh.
I'm not going to say it's wine o'clock. I think it's less the impetus for the culture and more the culture that bothers me.
Yeah.
But to all the moms out there, I judged you. I judged you and the white wine. I'm not chugging back Chardonnay, lifting up my skirt on Real Housewives. But
I wish you would.
I think that show is such a bad look. And I actually will go on record. Almost 100% of the women on that show end up in rehab or with their lives destroyed unless they really had their head on straight in the first place.
I mean, I want you to go on that show just so I can get the real hot gossip. Just so I can find out what's going down.
I think that show is designed to break you and only the strong survive, like the military.
Yeah.
Like someone like Bethany Frankel or Lisa Vanderpump going in, they were already like, look, I'm already smart. I already know what the fuck is up. I can already do business.
Yeah.
And then other women are like, I have a lotion company and Edward's not doing well. And it's like, snap.
I've heard a theory that I think is interesting, that the reason so many marriages break up after being on that show is that women agree to go on the show because they're like, good, Steve will see how he looks and people will support me. That there's already a problem and they're basically trying to get support for themselves by putting their marriage on TV.
It's such a tacky look. Like, I'm not old money. Like, we only want to see your name in the paper when you get married and when you die. Everything should be anonymous. But I do think we live in a culture that like will reward you for offering everything up to the world under the guise of like entertainment, or I just want to be a cautionary tale. And it's like, save a little bit. That's why I don't show my kids' faces on social media. That's why I really wrestled with like, do I reveal that we drank those two bottles of wine? Which I know is not a big deal, but like, it's a big deal to wake up in the morning and crack open an eye and your first thought is like, you are a piece of shit.
Did you feel okay when you woke up?
I feel fine.
Okay. Good for you.
I don't think at 41 after two kids you ever wake up and are like, can't wait to fucking crush it. I feel electric. Takes a second. But yeah, on Easter, you know what? It wasn't my holiday. I sat that one out and at the buzzer at 7 o'clock at night, we threw back two low alcohol pet nats. Mm-hmm. Go to your wine store, ask for a pet nat. And use words like chuggable, juicy, and fucking just enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
Although you said that one wasn't a pet nat, Noah, right? Whatever. It was German. It was a German good time. Oh, said boy. No one ever.
Yeah.
Okay. You don't really drink. You'll have like one daiquiri at a holiday party.
I'll have a mixed drink at a restaurant. You know, I don't drink wine really. And like, if someone serves it to me, I'll drink it, but I'm not buying it for myself.
Okay, this is just to the women out there. Go and get you a pet nat and just chug it down and eat some expensive chips and then watch like 1.5 episodes of Seinfeld and then go pump and dump your breast milk. Make it your own.
Big
Happy
night.
Easter. Happy Did you have a good Easter?
Yeah, it was good. I had good food. We had bratwurst.
Who's we?
Me and my parents. My only friends.
That's nice. That's fair.
The people I see all the time.
Would you ever do a friend meeting app?
I think I would have a hard time motivating myself to go meet with the person. Like, what's someone going to tell? Okay, if you meet someone out, you meet someone at an event, you're like, oh, this person's cool. We're getting along. What could someone message you that would make you say, oh, I need to hang out with this person?
You know what I've been saying to people lately?
What?
Just like, let's be friends. No one's going to turn that down. You're like, great.
I'm doing the much easier task of just trying to convince people to move from LA to here. It hasn't worked yet. You're not here. No one's here.
I would never move to a hotter place than where I live, ever.
Fair.
At some point, it will be unavoidable. Like, everything will just be right. 30 degrees of hot right. at all times. No, it's hard to make friends later in life, but I think you just put yourself out there and you're just like, hey, I think we've given this advice too, where you say like, I'm going to do this thing. Do you want to tag along?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a matter. I mean, you have to go places where you're going to be. I work from home. So that's the big problem. I'm friendly with people at work over Teams chat, you know, and then I get off
hey
work
guys,
at 7
I work
p.m.
from home. Do you want to come over? I work from home. So I'm always here. Can I tell you? My big thing as a friend is always like inviting friends and plump acquaintances to come to a set. Cause I'm like, you get to tag along, you get to meet the other comics, you get free drinks, and then we get frozen yogurt. Like, it's a great way to like hang out, talk in between. And it's really what I have to offer. And all of my friends know it's like, I mean, obviously the ones who are comics don't come except for Hunter. Cause he fucking puts in the work, but,
happy birthday, Hunter.
Happy birthday, Hunter. Well, this will come out Wednesday.
Yeah.
Any friend, but you guys, I'm sure a lot of you are his fans too. Any friend, they just come along and it's like a fun thing. Jamie, who is probably listening to this, was coming on Saturday. I had two sets. So we had made the plan. She was going to come. if you ever have to cancel on me, I was like, it doesn't matter. Like, I'm going to work anyway. And everyone knows it's an open invitation. So she canceled because she was like, I'm going on a date. Is that okay? And I was like, yeah, I'm not going to tell you with like a full marriage and two kids. Like, no, you need to put your girls first. Like, newsflash. And I know someone's going to steal this. So I'm going to put into some jokes. After 35, there's no more girl code. It doesn't matter. You meet a guy and you want to like see if this is a relationship. It would be so selfish of me in my own relationship to just be like, well, I'm married, so I need your support. Like, let your girlfriends go. Obviously, there's a limit to that.
Yeah.
But I was like, yeah, dude, like go on the fucking date. Like, I hope it's great. I will be at work getting frozen yogurt by myself. I found someone else, Jamie. Someone else came. Eat shit.
Our number one listeners, Jamie and Kalissa. Shout out to the real fans.
Shout out to Jamie and Kalissa, who would totally come. But anyways, there's no girl code. Get done what you got to get done. And so on Friday, Jamie and I had gone on a hike. And I woke up Saturday morning and my legs feel like punched bags of meat. Like it was the most, did a lot of walking in Mexico City, but like it was the most like uphill like cardio I've done since I had the baby. So my body was killing me. So I texted Jamie. So she'd gone on her date the night before. And I texted her and I go, hey, I just want you to know that it really hurt me, ... So the first text she would see would be that.
You're a...
And then I wrote that we went on this hike. Just kidding. I hope you had the best time. LOL.
You're already such a wild card texter that's tough. Mm-hmm. That's tough.
I would probably never text a close friend that. I'd probably just tell them later. But yeah, my body is just throbbing. And the two bottles of wine obviously don't help anything. But started working out the other day. You know when you... I was about to say, you know, when you work out, but I'm talking to the wrong person, but you know, when you work out and you haven't in a while and you're like, wow, I got through that. I feel great. I'll do more. Like I'll do the elliptical and I'll do the Pilates machine. I feel like a rubber band that's been pulled like way too tight.
Yeah.
I really fucked up. I've pulled both forearms somehow. Like I'm the off season is over.
You've had a tough week.
I got to get it back. All right, folks. Do we have any follow-ups?
We have some follow-ups. I also wanted to tell you, people adored Rebecca, and I loved her. That was such a good episode. They said she's like, they're like, oh, your guests are cool. Like, because, you know, they're kind of anti-guest for the most part. They've kind of come around to your way of thinking, which is like, we like just hearing from Eliza and kind of Emily. But they were like, Rebecca's someone who they're like not disappointed. They're like, she can hold her own. She can, you know, and of course, everybody loves your mom, but Rebecca was a new one and I loved her.
These are the reasons I like Rebecca. She's a tiny woman who has like a fierce portfolio and like very concrete opinions. And we agree on almost everything. And she just is who she is. And that's why I had her, because I felt like this would also be her demo. And do I want to have a podcast where I just interview people I find interesting? Of course. Yes. But I think I find you and me talking the most interesting. And I think that's what 12 graduate students in Australia really like. So that's why. We're keeping it pure. Keep it pure and simple.
Oh, no, not pure.
Keep it pure.
No.
What is it? Stay sweet. Keep sweet.
Okay, that's we
from
have...
From the documentary. Okay. All
right, from which documentary?
The one about the Duggars. Oh. No, the one about like the fundamental LDS. Like keep sweet was like what
ew.
The... Yeah. Keep sweet.
Right. Well, we have some follow-ups on the Rebecca episode that I'll do first because...
Can I float an idea by you?
Yeah.
What if you just hit your cat once? Really hard.
My dad told me I should flick Rizzoli really hard in the middle of his forehead.
In the middle of his scrotum.
I left him locked in a closet for 3 hours the other day by mistake and I felt so bad. I felt like that was punishment enough.
Do you think anyone spanks their dogs? Like lifts up the tail and spanks their little tiny chicken cutlet butts.
Probably. And I'm horrified by that just because the idea of lifting the tail is so upsetting to like make
sure. Wow, your cat's tail is perma lifted. That butthole is just out.
Right. To make sure you're like in this spank, I got to get butthole. I got to lay my hand on the butthole for it to be a real spank because they're not protected by cheeks. A butthole has cheeks on a human. There's no cheeks on a dog.
If your dog has to have its butt shaved, like you see that they are like two little chicken cutlets.
Yeah.
Like just very tender. Tianfu had to get her arm shaved for an IV because she had three teeth extracted. And you see somebody online, a comment, they called it like chicken meat. Like you see how pink and tender they are under their superior fur. Okay.
And like those little bumps that are on a chicken, like the little like goosebumps. Yeah, the skin. They have that too.
Almost goose, but on a chicken. Lol. My dog doesn't have that.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. She's
just pure. She's so soft. It looks like a pink peach. A little fuzz. This has gone somewhere where a few people will follow us. Like, and then they start talking about their pets' assholes.
They like this because they missed me. They were having a hard time without me. Just on the Instagram comments.
You.
Because I think they know that I check those.
I missed you. I missed us.
I know. Right. I was sad. I was excited to record. But okay, we'll do Rebecca follow-ups. Then we have one non-Rebecca follow-up. But hello, AIA family. 35, female. I sent a question regarding fertility last spring. Eliza suggested getting fertility checked and see what was going on. Last September, I got everything checked out. My husband and I were just fine. However, we started fertility treatments in November with no success. My last treatment before we moved into IVF was successful. I was so excited to finally be pregnant. However, the excitement was short-lived. Just 8 days later, I found out the pregnancy was not viable, and I'm currently under treatment to get to the other side. I've been struggling with the purpose of the pregnancy and how it has affected my timeline. I need to wait 3 months before I can even attempt to conceive again. I'm angry that this failed pregnancy has not only not worked, but has also derailed my journey. I'm writing today because I'm listening to the podcast with Rebecca Searle, and I started crying in the car. When Rebecca said, trust the timing of your life, it really hit home. It is wonderful advice that can play a role in many aspects of someone's life. I know my time will come, and I have time to still have a baby. Trusting the timing of my life will be something I will always hold close to my heart. Thank you for always being there for your fans.
I love that. And I remember when she said that. I know a lot of women that very specifically have gone through that. And I know the pain of like, oh, now I've got to wait. You're always being told to wait. And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, you're out of time. I'm not for you. I'm just saying like, as a woman, it's always like, you've got time. Whoops, just kidding. We meant other women. So that's heartfelt, honest advice. And just so you know, like when you look back at those 3 months, you'll be like, that was a drop in the bucket.
Right.
So. It's not a big, in the grand scheme of things, it's not a big deal, but it seems insurmountable at the onset of those 3 months.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that Rebecca helped.
Yeah. And then just another quick one. Hi, longtime listener. Love all Eliza content. Wanted to say Rebecca is a great person for guest/substitute for the podcast. She gave great advice, came across as a lively, warm person. I think it's a lot to live up to when compared to Eliza and Emily. Honestly, you both give superior sound advice. All other guests that have come on were fine, but Rebecca lived up to the two of you. Love everything you do. This is my favorite podcast. Sabrina B., fellow elder millennial. So just so you know, if I die, Rebecca has to... villain.
It's funny, but that's the feedback. I've always found Rebecca to be cold and unapproachable, but I'm glad that you guys have decided she should replace me. That's great. That makes me feel good about my choice in friends.
Yes.
makes me feel good.
Yeah. Okay. And we have a follow-up not related to her, which is just interesting. I mean, okay, here's the sad thing it made me realize. Follow-ups are so much better when things are going wrong for the person. When it all works out, it's kind of like...
it's really gone off the rails.
Right. But when they're like, oh, actually, this was fine. It's like, I mean, I'm glad for you, but... So, do you remember?
I guess,
yeah.
I just want to say in my heart, when our advice, like they take it and they're like, and then things got better. In my mind, they're like recommending this to other people. But no, they're just like, and then I listened 3 weeks later, it turns out it was fine. So recommend it to your friends if we help you.
So, okay. Hello again, Eliza, Emily, babies old and new, with fur and without. It has been almost 4 months since I wrote in about my employer who accidentally gifted me a $500 gift card via email instead of another employee by the same name. Then—
do you remember they asked her to give it back, folks? Do you remember this?
Right. Later informed me I would be responsible for paying it back out of my own paycheck. Well, you're wondering why it took me so long to drop in for an update. That's because my employer has been radio silent on the matter. Not a word. This previous week, I had our weekly one-on-one sit-down meeting with my supervisor to go over questions. When we were finished, she asked me if I liked my job. To which I answered honestly that I do, but in the back of my mind, the only thing that has stood out as a negative experience was my previous gift card experience. And I think she sensed my hesitation because she followed up with,
wait, was this like, do you like your job? Or was this her sitting back, like fingering her coffee? Like, let me ask you something, Carissa. Do you like your job?
I feel like whenever anyone asks you that, it's not good. Like you not can't good. Say anything besides yes, unless you really know where you stand. And you know that they are worried about retaining you.
It's like when a girl pulls your side, she's like, do you like Susan? Yeah. Or do you like her? No.
It's scary.
Okay. So she asked that.
She followed up with, is there something else you'd like to share? I debated in that moment. Do I bring it up and take the chance of asking, knowing it could open a sore wound, or should I keep it to myself? I knew it was ultimately better to just find out what was going on. So I took a breath and I asked her point blank, what is going on with this gift card? Am I going to be responsible for paying back $500? Because I haven't heard anything else about it. When my boss heard my question, she took a big breath. She explained to me that initially corporate essentially forced her and her boss, the managers of the office that we work out of, to approach me and ask for the money back. After the initial interaction, the corporate office never spoke to my managers about it again. Therefore, the managers in the meantime have spoken about it amongst themselves and have decided that they are not going to recoup the funds from me. They're assuming that corporate has rightfully decided they're not going to press the issue. We've gone through end of the year. They've reconciled the books. Nothing has been brought up. So it's unlikely that there would be any repercussions at this point. Thanks for joining me for the ride, Eliza and crew. Glad I could update you with positive outcomes. Love, not so broke and bummed, Becca.
Finally, the machinations of corporate bureaucracy have worked in the little guy's favor. Someone up there flagged it, forgot about it. First of all, there's too many managers here. Your bosses were like, we don't want to fucking do this. It's bullshit that she brought it up, unless there was something else that was weird, waiting for you to say something. It's bullshit that you were this uncomfortable for this long. And it's crazy that she, knowing this was an issue, wasn't like, by the way, it's probably fine. I'm on your side. The whole thing is fucked up, but I'm glad you don't get to.
The manager saying we'll pay it back out of our discretionary funds. Like, she did not have your back. She was waiting to see what would happen. But I'm also glad you don't have to pay it.
You have this many people. You should not get to use the word corporate if $500 is this big of an issue.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
But this just goes to show you, like, nothing is real. Nobody really has any power. You shouldn't have been this uncomfortable for this long. And from the beginning, you should have been like, this is bullshit. You guys gave it to me. This isn't on me. Too many managers.
Yeah.
There's too much ice cream between you as the cookie and that top cookie. I'm talking about corporate ice cream sandwich, a very popular metaphor in the business world.
All right. And then we got a lot of follow-ups that I don't know that you want to get back into this, but you got a lot of messages of support for what you shared at the end of the last podcast. People just sorry that you feel that way. Grateful that you were very vulnerable and honest about your current feelings, about the hostages, about being a mother, about everything else. There were a lot of people that reached out, and I told you I was pleasantly surprised that on social media, the messages were all positive. They were all supportive of you being authentic on the show.
I appreciate that. They're like, not supportive of you being Jewish, though. We need to talk about that.
They hated that part.
They hate it for sure. I do too. I think part of that is you're not getting any negativity because anybody who is violently anti-Semitic or that ignorant isn't an actual fan. Like, actual fans listen to this and consume the art and the work in a different way than people who just happen to go onto an Instagram. Like, I have a couple of total psychopaths who look normal that, like, probably have families and jobs. I know one person has a job because I looked them up on LinkedIn. And the next time she writes me something weird and Jew-hatey, I'm going to be like, hey, I know who your boss is at this corporation you work for. Don't test me. There are total psychopaths who, anytime I share anything, always in the vein of, like, let's fight anti-Semitism. I never comment on government practices. I never say anything disparaging about Muslims or Palestine or anything like that. They write, like, really horrible things. And I'm like, that's just because you are following me just because, and I don't read their comments, but I see that they're there. So they're always in red, which is even more crazy that, like, as a human, you have receipts upon receipts of you writing things to me that I've never read. And you're like, this is how I want to spend my time.
Yeah.
So I shared it because it felt like I wanted to and I had to, but also I know that this is safe because nobody who is violent is listening to this podcast. And if you are, I hope we give you advice that helps you.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody needs help. So yeah, anyways, this is a very...
I appreciate it, but I got a lot of your messages and they were very sweet. And it was actually one of the only times in my life where I was like, I will read these supportive messages. Because sometimes you post stuff that's awful, but a joke. Like, oh, hey, I broke my arm. People are like, hang in there, mama. You're like, I don't need this.
Yeah.
In general, I feel pretty supported by my lovely fans. But your messages were very kind. And I'm also cognizant of like not... You can't bleed like that for everything all the time. Like at the end of the day, people have their own lives and their own shit. But...
Well, that was part of it is people also appreciated you talking about postpartum depression, like, you know, and that somebody reached in specifically about the you kind of not apologizing, but reflecting back on people that you felt were just bitchy that you're like, oh, maybe they were just depressed. And
just depressed.
Yeah. And that there's a new understanding there and people felt really seen by that as well. So it was just overall, you know, people appreciate the show and you.
I thank you. I thank you. This goes back to the thing of like, as a woman, like as you evolve on your journey, you start to realize all the times you maybe not harshly, but judged people for something you couldn't possibly have empathy for or sympathy for because it's just such a foreign thing. And I will tell you, I have two friends who I just happen to know have like serious depression. And I just texted them and I was like, I just want you to know. If how I'm feeling right now is how you feel all the time, I am so sorry. Because I thought you were just being a bitch by not returning my text. And now I see.
Now, did they appreciate that? Did they like that?
I didn't say the bitch part. I didn't say the bitch part. And they did. They were like, one was like, no one's ever said this to me. One was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like there's compassion there. But I was like, we could all benefit from feeling. Maybe in the future, Elon Musk will invent a way that we can like feel what another person feels. There's so much like trepidation around this because we live in LA where like people love to wear their issues as their personality.
Right.
And I just have a fear of being, I don't want to be that. Like if you are really hurting, that's a valid thing. But too many people are like, yeah, it's my like weird thing that I just like have. I'm like, no, you're just really bad at stand up.
I think to an extent also, as much as some people are really empathetic, thoughtful people, I think it's impossible to really understand what someone's going through unless you're going through it. Like I think about when Gracie died and how it was the worst thing that ever happened to me. And around that time when other people's pets died, I was like, I can't believe that. And now I see like, oh, someone's beloved pet died. And I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. I feel for them, but I don't feel for them in that same way. Or like even people that have kids, like I'm never going to understand that. I think there are these certain things where you have no concept of what they're feeling at all. Like, and I don't think that's our fault, but it's just interesting to then tap into that and go, oh, but I guarantee when you don't have that depression anymore, you're not going to be able to feel that anymore for that
person.
Right.
When you're at the time, you're like an open wound.
Yeah.
Like literally if you've had a child, but there are like your everything you feel vulnerability is not 24/7. Like it opens up, you're hurting, so you can let that hurt in. And I will be honest with you, I did see a therapist. So just so you know, when we tell people to like see someone, I put my money where my mouth is. And she said something to me. Sometimes seeing a therapist is also about someone saying the thing that you know, but hearing someone else saying it. And she was like, all the things around October 7th and being Jewish, she goes, that is an incredible amount of weight to carry while pregnant. Having given birth. And I didn't realize it because I was like, I got time all day. I'll answer all these DMs until it wasn't okay. And she was like, that's a lot. You're so vulnerable already, chemically and emotionally. And I didn't realize like, yeah, maybe reading newsletters about violent rape and hostages isn't the, and then defending the fact that you exist, like isn't the healthiest practice when you already hormonally are kind of up in the air.
Yeah.
Anyway, I appreciate that, folks. I'm here for you and you were there for me.
Yeah. So, all right, I'll go to their questions now. This we had to catch up on things. We were apart for so long.
We were going to do a short episode, but now I think we can do a little bit meatier to get to the questions because, ew, somebody DM'd me. They were like, I usually skip the end of your show. Like they fast forward, like throw the bottom of the cup. She's like, but I listened to it And she's like, I appreciate you being open. I'm like, but you skipped the end? That's the tastiest bit.
Well, when you said you were maybe not going to do it anymore, we got a lot of write-ins that were like, no, you have to, please.
And that end of the show did sound, she was like, I usually skip the wrap-up, which is fair. I'm like, yes. I'm going to be in Tulsa.
100%. I do that too. It's yeah. Not
think
the
of
cops.
The end like a seafood extender. Like we're just doing a little bit right there at the end as the music plays. And then I was like, no, I have to say something. Okay, so we're here for a full ep. Here we go.
Okay. Hello, AIA crew. First, I want to thank you for mentioning this email address in the episode Door to Door Meet. I've been wanting to write in for a while, but wasn't sure how. Okay, everybody. You can DM us, but I am better at emails now. AskElizaPodcast@gmail.com. I will not say your name unless you tell me to. So don't, it's not like you're not going to be anonymous because you emailed us. Only I log in this email box. I won't do anything bad. Okay. I have a question that I promise you have not answered before on the podcast. It will take just a little bit of explaining, so please bear with me. So polite.
Yeah.
I am a 24-year-old female, A, that married my 26-year-old husband, T, last year. I live in a semi-small town and have known T since high school, although we didn't get together till college. One of my closest friends, D actually got me and my husband together.
Why?
D and T's. Do we need to switch this to? I'm going to say.
No, I got it.
Okay.
No, let's keep it this way.
D and T's moms are best friends and they basically grew up together, are essentially siblings. I've been close with D since high school. This particular friend actually introduced me to Eliza. I'm now not only a huge fan of you, but stand-up comedy in general. And we talked almost daily. D was a bridesmaid at my wedding. Okay, so I'm guessing D's a female.
So D's a girl. Okay, yeah. Got it. That's,
As well as helping me with things like the bouquets, storing my dress at her house. Yes, okay, lady. So my husband wouldn't see it, etc. Around 1 month before my wedding, D got a new boyfriend, Z.
Why'd you do this to us? This is the worst. Because she's like, these are the real names. It's like, if you're going to go through all of this. All right. I'm literally, it looks like an optometry chart as I'm writing
drawing,
it down.
Yeah, you're making a mind map.
I'm writing the letters and it's just like, close the other eye. Can I read this?
Okay. The wedding was wonderful. I had a blast getting to see my family and friends I don't get to see very often.
Nice wedding. Got it.
I have not physically seen D since my wedding. The last time I, quote, texted with her was July 2023. I'm convinced that this new boyfriend is the cause. I have spoken to our mutual friends and it seems like D is no longer speaking to anyone, including her mother. I got this information from my mother-in-law. I'm super worried about her and want to get her out of what must be an abusive relationship. The reason this is time sensitive is because I will be moving 10 hours away from D in May. This move is years in the making and nothing new. Everyone knows I've wanted to move for a long time, but I don't want to abandon D. I'm already worried about her and want to help, and being 10 hours away from her will make us connecting again even harder. I've brought this up to my therapist, who simply said not to physically go to her house for fear of making things worse. Please help. Thank you for all the laughs and any input you might have. A.
Where were you the last 9 months? So what this is you got married and you have been, as you should, consumed by the new marriage. And you probably went on a honeymoon and you've just been living your life. And here's a girl who it seems like has been a pretty good friend. You guys are good friends. It's not like she didn't do a massive favor by letting you store a dress there, but you were friends. There's some reciprocity there. And you were consumed with your own marriage, which is totally fine. But it doesn't, what I'm not hearing is like, I have called several times. I've called the mom. You have no frame of reference about this boyfriend either. So it seems to me like you kind of didn't realize it was bad. But in the last 9 months, what I'm not hearing is any concerted effort to fix this. And now you're at the buzzer, you're moving and you're like, well, now I'm feeling kind of bad. Your therapist says, don't go over there. Can you call the mom to get some clarity? Because the fact that she also hasn't reached out to you, like there's...
So the mother-in-law of our question asker says that this girl's mom hasn't heard from her either. So...
But this is crazy. Like, hasn't heard from her. Like, you should be calling the police. She could be dead.
Right. So it's kind of up to that mom. But also, the person that's closer to her in this relationship is your husband. How does he feel about this? Is he worried about her? Can
Who's
you?
T.
T is.
Oh, T's, no. No. You're it. No. Hold oh, on. Yeah. T is. Yeah. All of you. Yeah. You're right. No, no, no. You're right.
T is the husband who was really good friends with D.
It seems like all of you kind of were like, well, I got married and I have my own life, so bye. And everybody's just kind of forgotten about this friend. And in general, I'm like, look, people get older, they move on. It'd be one thing if this girl was like consumed in her own relationship. I'd be like, let her go find that. But you're saying that this has a bad vibe to it. Where were you guys for the last 9 months? Get in your car, go over there. Don't listen to that therapist.
I don't know if we can advise that. And if you do go over, bring your husband. But
100%.
Can you invite, it says you haven't texted with her since July. So I don't know if that means you've texted her and she hasn't replied.
Yeah.
Can you invite her? Let's say her and Z are in an abusive relationship. What if you invite her and Z out? Like, hey, we want a double date to get a read on things at least.
I'm leaving. I'd like to see you. But like, for the last 9 months, you just never heard from her and you were like, this should be fine. Even if she was in a happy relationship, that's super weird. So
is she posting on social media? Is she?
Yeah, we need more info, but I'm not pumped about the fact that you're like, well, now that I'm leaving, I want to quickly wrap this up and fix her life, because she'll be like, where have you been? This guy's had all this time to brainwash her. If that's what's been happening, you need to talk to the mom to be like, can I get some more clarity? And there's not a ton you can do, because at the end of the day, we do make our choices. This is not your family. But if you want to help this girl, you need to figure out a way to do it where you're actually helping versus just dropping in, like, and then like on your way out of town. Get more people involved, though. It seems like you guys all kind of let this girl just drift away.
Yeah. Yeah. This is...
Call her right now.
Right. Do you have Z's contact info?
Yeah, we need an update. We need, have you been reaching out and she hasn't been responding? In which case, like, where were you then? Didn't that set off an alarm? Did you think she was mad at you? We need more info.
Yeah, but, this is strange.
Definitely start reaching out. Try to get her alone. Try to get some details from that mom. And if your husband is really close friends with her, if he gives a shit about her, he should get involved too. Just to get her out of that relationship.
Yeah.
Which she will probably go back to once you move 10 hours away. But once you're 10 hours away, like, there's nothing you can do.
Right. Yeah.
And he will tell her, he'll be like, where were your friends these last 9 months? Oh, your friend's moving away. Like, be prepared for this guy who also could have done nothing and you just upset her and she's just not talking to you.
Right. Or she joined a cult having nothing to do with him. You don't know.
That's probably what happened. That's the most likely, like, most a sex likely. Cult.
Yeah.
Yeah. An MLM sex cult.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Pod Crew. Longtime listener, first-time question asker. So, I just moved across the country in the middle of January 2024. I've always wanted to move somewhere and start over, so it's absolutely perfect. I moved from Michigan to North Carolina. NC is North Carolina, right? Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. A little background.
What else would it be?
I don't know.
What else would it be? Okay. You.
I don't know. New Charleston. A little background. I got sober over a year ago and I'm in a program where I met my first friend here. We're pretty close, but it's becoming clear I have a little crush on her. I'm a female. She's mentioned multiple times that she's straight and she knows I'm gay. Part of me, the delusional part, wants to believe she might be curious, but in reality, she probably doesn't feel the same way. At this point, I just want to tell her not to convince her or anything, but just to get it off my chest. I don't want to ruin our friendship because I don't have many in the state as of right now. I know I wouldn't be hurt if she doesn't reciprocate, because if you're 100% straight, there's nothing to be offended about. However, I don't want to make her feel uncomfortable and lose our friendship because of how this information might make her feel. I also just want to say thank you to you both. The pod has been so good for me during this move and especially getting sober. Thanks to the Red Hot Advice. The podcast makes me feel like I have the older sisters I've always wanted. Meg.
You do.
We are big sister.
Not that much older. One thing I don't do, Meg, when I hang out with other straight friends is mention how straight I am multiple times. She knows you have a crush on her. She can sense it in the way that when you're a girl and a guy's a crush on you, you're kind of like, anyways, I've got a boyfriend. She knows. I normally am all about like get something off your chest. And I would say that if this girl were gay or bi or whatever, she knows you do. She is 1% uncomfortable, but likes you. She really is seeing you for you, likes you, likes being around you. And you have a crush on her because she's your only friend. She's probably pretty. She's probably nice. All the reasons one would have a crush, but you don't really have anyone else to focus on. Plus you're in recovery. Plus you just moved there. So there's a lot of weight on this person. Don't tell her you have a crush on her. It will make her uncomfortable. And that's a lot to carry around in a friendship, especially between two girls, because then it's like, I don't know. If I get drunk, can I ask her about being gay? Like, do we kiss each other? Because with women, it's a little bit more fluid, but this is not a homophobic thing. This is about, it's uncomfortable when someone has a crush on you and you don't have a crush on them. It's really hard to be friends with them. And that might be hard for you, but she's straight. And even if she isn't straight, that's not for you to unpack. You're not there for her to like experiment with either. So either push it down or try to find some other friends and pull back a little. But I think you should need to pump the brakes on this a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. You're saying you want to get it off your chest. So that's just why. If it's weighing you down that much and you can't be friends with her, you're saying you wouldn't be offended if she said no, which is fine, but it definitely does make things weird.
For her.
For her, yeah. Because she doesn't, she's going to be, I don't think without meaning to, she might pull back so as to be nice to you, her friend, who she doesn't want to give the wrong idea. She'll second guess being friendly with you in the way that women are friendly with each other, because it is sometimes more intimate maybe than how you'd be friends with a guy. Mm-hmm. So I think it just, not that you should hide. She knows you're gay. You're not hiding anything, but I just think, yeah.
She knows you have a crush on her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or there's that thing where you're gay, so she just assumes you like her, which you do, which I think a lot of straight women do. You're like, oh, you're gay, so obviously you're like attracted to me.
Yeah.
It's not that I don't want you to get it off your chest. I think you just need to process whatever you're going through, having moved somewhere new, and I would start to try to expand your friend group. In 6 months, when you're in a different place, you can, and you're closer friends with her, you can be like, yeah, I had a crush on you at first. And then she'll feel like flattered, but she won't feel so suffocated by it. I just think it puts her in an uncomfortable position.
Try to go on some dates. Try to find some gay women in the state.
Try to find some gay women in the state of North Carolina. I would not be giving the same advice if you were a boy and you're like, I've just got a crush on her. Simply because, why wouldn't I? Let me think about this for a second. I have to think about that.
What advice would you give a boy?
Well, I guess because, so, I mean, there are male-female friendships. No, I would tell the boy the same thing. I would tell the boy, if you really see a future with this girl, tell her, but be willing to lose that friendship. So you could also do that, but I don't think you're willing to lose that friendship because it's the only one that you have. There.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you have to dig really deep. Like, is this a crush? Like, I think it's you. I mean, you also, the reason I wouldn't give this advice is because you're both heterosexual in the boy-girl scenario. In this scenario, it's a no-go zone. So there's nothing to be gained other than you feeling a little bit better, but this girl, she also may not be uncomfortable, but I think you put yourself at a disadvantage in the friendship. Like, you're not on equal footing now. And that's not how friendships sustain.
Well, and you're not wrong to think that, you're not wrong to think that she could be saying it and repeating it, hoping that like you'll change her mind. Like, it's not wrong to think that. I understand, but I think you have to take her at her word. And if that is what she's trying to do, she needs to be the one to initiate that.
That's 1,000% correct. Because when someone says they're gay, it is completely inappropriate to be like, are you though? Like, and question it. So if a person says they're straight, that has to have just as much weight as someone saying they're bi or gay or pansexual or whatever it is you are. Like, if someone identifies what they are, we rarely have it the other way. That's why it always bothers me when someone's like, yeah, but you haven't met me yet. It's like they said they were straight, just like they would respect that you're gay. The other version is she secretly is bi, bicurious, gay, whatever, and he's just not attracted to you.
Isles just ripped this out of the window.
For those of you that can't see this Zoom that only me and Emily are on, her cat just ripped out an entire window pane. I don't know. I know you have terrible animals.
I know. Okay, continue.
That cat is decreasing the value of your home just by being there. And now they've ruined a window. That's so much wood for a cat to have ripped out.
It must have been loose already, but oh my God.
Counterpoint, your house is made of popsicle sticks. Anyways, back to what I was saying. Or they're just not attracted to you. So.
Yeah.
Either way, it's all about what are you willing to lose? What are you willing to risk? Do you really have a crush on this person? Or is it like, I've got a crush on my coworker? It's like, that's right, because you work in a godless office and you have no life outside of it.
There was so much. I feel like whenever I've started new jobs and had big crushes on coworkers because you're spending so much time with them. Like there was this random guy at the Laugh Factory where when I look back, I'm like, ew. But you have that thing of like, who am I seeing day to day who seems like a normal human? Because you glom on in those environments. So you just moved here. You've been there 3 months. You've built a closer friendship than you would have if you had met her where in your home turf. So just go meet some other people and come back to this. You're not wrong to tell her, but I think you can stack the deck more in your favor if you give it a beat.
Give yourself a break.
Hi, Eliza, Emily, and everyone else on the Schlesinger team. Is that what we're going to call ourselves now?
Finally have a team.
Instead of the AI.
A lot of Jews don't have, but I finally have my own team. We're all in it together.
First, congratulations on your baby. I have baby fever, so I think he is extra cute. Mm. By the way, this is related to you. I showed my mom a picture of Sierra. I did break Sierra's trust, and I did show it to my mom. She asked how the babies were. And she goes, oh my God, that's the cutest kid I've ever seen. And I go, yeah, she's really cute. She's like, no, Steve, look at this kid. Look at her. I'm like, okay. And my dad's like, yeah, it's a cute kid. My mom was very like, oh my God. I was like, no, I know.
Did I ever tell you when we were shooting Righteous Gemstones, we popped over to some small town for lunch at like a country diner. And they have a deli section and they have these things like she crab soup, like very... North or South Carolina. I think we went to North Carolina. No, it was in South Carolina. And like a lot of tchotchkes that are like made of like shells and like beach art. And this woman, Sierra was like 10 months old at the time. She had these big blue eyes. This woman looked at her and Sierra was like barely walking. And she goes, stopped at her. She goes, look at those eyes. And I was like, oh, thanks. She goes, she's ready to run. And I always remembered, it's kind of like that Dixie Chick song, like, ready, 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 ready to run. And even though that woman could have just said that, it was a very like Southern, like wild girl thing. And I always remember because she is like high octane, independent. And it's almost like a curse from a good witch in a Southern diner just being like, your baby is ready to run. I'm looking at those eyes. I'm ready to amble slowly.
Does she take off? Is she one of those kids where she's just like, I'm out of here? I feel like some kids just like take off. They're like, I'm leaving the family forever. Bye.
She's very smart. The rule is when we go on a walk in the street, you have to hold mommy's hand, but on the sidewalk, you can walk by yourself. So in order to hold no one's hand, she meanders back and forth between the two. So every time I'm like, you're in the street, she's like, but I'm walking back to the sidewalk. She's too smart.
Yeah, tricky. All right, let's see.
She's a full-grown German Shepherd. You cannot tell her nothing. Ready to run.
So both babies are cute. Now, about me. Thanks. I, 31, female, am a successful musician working on my Master of Music. I'm married to my awesome husband, who is also a professional musician. TLDR. Do you know what that means?
Too long, don't read it.
Didn't read, yeah. So it's like a summary. But I need to know etiquette on how to reach out to an old friend. Question context. I was very Christian until I turned 18, when I realized it wasn't true and had a complete personality and lifestyle change. I call it my alcoholic hoe phase. It was traumatic, but today I am happy and healthy. I recently opened up my old high school senior yearbook. While I was reviewing the signatures and letters, I reread the one from my high school best friend. It was the sweetest, most wonderful message, and I got emotional remembering her. This girl was my rock for years. We were estranged around the time I stopped being Christian. My mental health crisis surrounding the religious fallout propelled me to lose contact with her. Note that she was not a Christian or part of the community. I only lost contact with her because I had depression and we were at different colleges. After reading her yearbook message, I became curious and looked her up. She was not on any social media, and the top hit was her work profile. She works a public-facing job. I want to reach out, but only have this profile to make contact. Do I email her work address, call her office? We were extremely close for years before I lost contact with her. Note, we now live in different states. My goal is just to say hi and see if she's interested in catching up sometime. Rose.
I think saying that to her is fine.
I think the problem is, the email that exists is a work email.
That doesn't matter because you don't work there. It's not unprofessional. It's not like one banker to another. If that's all you have and you want some closure and it's nothing toxic, nothing bad, and I'm sure she'll be like, oh my God, I thought of you. Like, people drift apart in college. And especially to have a crisis of faith like that and to come to a realization, whether it's becoming more or less religious, like a lot of people say what you're saying and you kind of shed everything. Maybe she felt cast aside, whatever. Don't make it an emotional dump. Don't make it like, I was going through so much and this was hard on me and just wanted to see, because nobody wants to hear all that. But
I think that if you share with her exactly what you said, like, I was looking at old high school yearbooks, your message was so meaningful and it made me miss talking to you. You know, how are you doing? I'd love to catch up if you'd like. It's like, not weird to reflect.
I think also you just being like, and then you could even say just something very short and sweet, like, I was going through a lot. I realized we drifted apart in college. I just think of you so fondly. And then reading that randomly just reminded me what a good person you are. And like, I'm not weird. Nothing's happening. I just really wanted friend to friend to say hi.
Yeah.
You're probably too busy for this. I hope you're doing great. This was the only email, so I hope your assistant isn't reading it. Like, put a joke in there.
Yeah.
And be very prepared for that to not be her email address and for her to never write back. But
yeah,
just use that email. Big fucking deal. It's not like she's like the mayor.
Right. Right.
And like a page is going to read that.
Or like she's in witness protection.
Yeah. Or she is and you're not telling us. But yeah, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
That's all you got.
Dear Eliza, Emily, and AI crew. I'm a longtime Eliza fan, but only discovered podcasts in 2024.
What?
And I'm currently working backwards, back just over a year so far. Sorry if someone has already asked something similar. No, they haven't. I, 29, female, have been selling vintage and antiques through rented booth spaces and other people's stores for just over 2 years. This year is the year. I've decided to move forward and start my own store, which is honestly some pretty top of the cob stuff.
Whoa.
I love that.
And you use the vocab.
I met Shelby, 33, female, last year when we worked a seasonal job together. I thought at first we could be good friends as we are somewhat close in age and have some common interests, including vintage. She has a large collection of vintage clothing, and I've sold some for her in my booths, but it has been a struggle to get her to help the way she says she would. I realized pretty quickly that she was generally flaky, partied too much, and didn't seem to understand or respect my schedule or lifestyle as a single parent. Ultimately, I feel like I'm the more mature person despite being younger, and this is not someone I care to be friends with. I also worked with her at the next job I had, a restaurant, where she was so chaotic and incompetent it made the job nearly unbearable. Fortunately, she didn't last long there and found another job. The only reason she continues to be around me is because one of the first couple of times that I went out with Shelby, I met and am now dating her 38 male best friend. We've been together about 10 months and it's been going really well. I've stepped back from being friends with Shelby myself, but I'm still nice to her because she's my boyfriend's best friend. Here's where I fucked up. Shelby has had a sales job for about 6 months and seems really happy. I thought that since her employment was stable, this would be an okay time to ask about outright purchasing some of her vintage clothing. While she seemed less likely to have time to do other consignment deals or offer me any of her help. Last I knew, she was even starting to throw the clothing away. I sent her a message about it, only to catch her on the way out of state for a funeral, and she wanted to talk when she got back. I said I was sorry for her loss, and then I'd see her when she got back. Well, she's back, and I found out just before she left, she had lost her job. Now she has mentioned to my boyfriend how she's looking forward to talking to me about the store we are going to start together. So, Eliza and Emily, my question is this. How can I shut her down in a way that won't bring heaps of future drama? She's also said a couple off-the-cuff, not-so-supportive things about dating me to my boyfriend, and I'm worried that if I am the one to break it to her that she's wildly unreliable and I don't want to share the business I've worked so hard to build with her, that she will potentially try to sabotage my relationship. If you've chosen my question and wouldn't mind throwing in some of those goat sounds you do in the answer, I would be delighted. The youngest of the millennials, Kayla.
I'll excuse your request because you're just a baby. First of all, it's a sheep and or dolphin, and I don't do them on the pod. Now let's move on to your question. You don't have to completely dress down this woman. You don't have to be like, you're unreliable and whatever. There's two different issues here. First of all, she's unstable and she's a mess. You are a single mom, so you will be more mature than almost anyone that you meet, probably, because I think that being a single mom instills, for better or for worse, like a lot of responsibility into you at a young age. Make sure you and your boyfriend are stable and that you're on the same page. And don't talk shit on her unless you already have, because you don't want this to become like you're warring over him, which is has the makings of that. I have had male friends, and I've had male friends who are older than me. And what bound us, I guess, was professional stuff. I don't love that she's 33 and he's 38. But okay, fine. They're best friends. It's just a little weird. It's just a weird age gap. You're what?
Our question asker isn't 29. So she's 29, the girl's 33, he's 38.
Something's just off here. This all feels a little immature. However, there is no problem with you. First of all, you need to get to FaceTime, and you can just be like, I'm not taking on a business partner. Very clearly just be like, I messaged you about buying some of your pieces. I want to start a business on my own. There's nothing she can say to that. She can't be like, oh, I thought we were going to do it. And it's like, okay, well then where's your seed money? She doesn't have it. Is she looking for, and you can, I don't think you want to hire her, but you don't even have to bring that up. Be like, this is a business that I really want to start. And so the best I can do, I really want to buy your pieces. Keep it at that. You don't owe her anything other than that, but you have to have the wherewithal to just say it to her face. That's a weird sort of delusional thing she said. And you don't even know how she said it. She could have said to him, oh, I'm looking forward to going into business together. Meaning, because you are in business together, if she's selling you something in a weird way, you need to all three hang out and you need to squash it. And then aside from that, this thing where she said some unsupportive things, I think this girl has a crush on her best friend.
Yeah.
I don't love that you're dating him, to be honest. But okay, maybe he's incredible with an 11-year age difference.
You feel that there's some sort of basically blackmail going on. Like, I don't want to start something with her because she might sabotage me to him. Do you trust him that little?
Yeah, there's something weird here. Like, there's no version of a steady relationship where it's like, I'm afraid she said something. That's what I said at the beginning. And now it's over. You have a kid to take care of. You're starting a business. Focus on that. She sounds crazy enough that she might just fall by the wayside. You don't need to sit there. Hopefully it doesn't come to like you having to list off all of her failures.
Yeah.
And also you don't know what your boyfriend says about you to her. So if you want everyone's cards to be on the table, the three of you need to hang out. And it organically, you have to be like, yeah, I'm just starting this business. And you could even say, part of me doesn't want you to have to be like, I think you thought we were starting a business together. Let it just maybe have a conversation. But I think the three of you should be together and keep an eye out for the fact that she might like your boyfriend. Because that's fucked up to be your close friend, but saying shitty things about you. However, you might be compounding the fact that you don't want to work with this lunatic. Like she may have said something that wasn't that bad. Your boyfriend, there's something about your boyfriend I don't like. I don't like that he passed that information on to you. It should have been, she says something to him and he's like, hey, that's my girlfriend. Like, you can't talk like that. He might like being in the middle. I don't like this whole triangle for you.
No, I don't either.
I don't like him. Let us know. Now that we've made you paranoid, let us know.
I know.
And remember, it was a sheep. Next question.
Am I the asshole, sorry for the Reddit reference, for not wanting to get pied in the face? I am so awkward, I need help. At work, I'm a program supervisor, and under me, there are several assistant supervisors who help with some management tasks and rotate between different programs. One of them, Anna, is planning the yearly employee party. Along with catering, free booze, photos, and yearly awards, Anna plans to get all the supervisors slash managers together at the party and throw plates of whipped cream in our faces. Actual pies are too expensive for the party budget. I mean, yeah, it's supposed to be just whipped cream.
Yeah, we don't want to waste that cheap fruit filling on you. Yeah.
Anna is constantly bringing up the pies whenever she talks about the party, making it seem like it'll be a big event. I hate this idea. When Anna told me what she planned for us, I immediately said I didn't want to do it. She said that's fine and would only, quote, force our managers to do it. The idea of whipped cream in my hair and eyes disgusts me. It could make me break out or stain my clothes. I'm a newer supervisor at the company, 6 months, and I don't want people to think I'm stuck up or a bad sport, but I feel so uncomfortable with the idea of someone throwing whipped cream at me. It might be awkward if the other supervisors and managers are playing along and I'm the only one not. It makes me not even want to go to the party. Will I look like a jerk who doesn't care about our team if I'm the only one in leadership who doesn't get pied in the face? This is such a specific situation anyways. You can just use my name. Much love and admiration for you all, Kelly.
You did say there was free booze. So part of me is like, just take a couple shots or get a pet nat. That's a tough one because this is not about the whipped cream in your hair. This is triggering something else that I can't put my finger on because I don't know you. Maybe it has to do with feeling out of control. Maybe it has to do with your appearance and you're like, I won't be able to wash it out and I don't want to feel uncomfortable because then I don't feel empowered. It's annoying, much like when like a groom shoves cake in a bride's face or vice versa. It's like, okay, cool. Now what? Now you just smell like old dairy and everything is ruined. I don't love that, like, that's how you're going to bond with your team is you're going to have to look like an asshole. Mm-mm. It's tough, though, because it is a team. It isn't a big deal, but it is a big deal. When I was, like, in middle school, like, friends would do things on your birthdays where they'd, like, kidnap you. And my friends came and... like they would like dress you up, like put like funny makeup on your face. And I looked, they did so much to me, like, and I had to go out like that. And so you're essentially sitting at breakfast, like covered in glitter and gunk and glue and makeup and crap while your friends have a good time. And like, you're just dressed like an idiot. And it's a cute idea, but it's like a little mean. I don't know why they have to do this. It's not like a dunk tank where you can go change. Is there a facility? Can you go to the bathroom and dry your hair after? Do you have to hang out like that? Part of me is like, it's not a big deal to be a team player, but I think you need to get to the root of what is bothering you about that.
Would shaving cream be easier to wipe off than whipped cream? It's supposed to go on your face.
Okay. Then, and by the way, it should just be shaving cream. And if you still have a problem with it, And I'm not saying that you're wrong for having that problem, but it's not about the pie. It's about something else.
I think, yeah, I think I don't like the idea of humiliating someone.
Right.
But if everyone else agrees, it is an issue. Now, your coworker, the other person's saying, oh, I'll just force the other people to do it. If everyone's being forced, no. So maybe you can kind of take the temperature of some other people of like, what do you think of this? You know, I'm sure there are some people who think they're big class clowns and would love to get hit with a pie because they want that attention. So can you kind of covertly take the temperature of other people? But yeah, make it shaving cream or something that's supposed to go on the skin so you're not covered in wet sugar.
Yeah, this thing of like, I might break out. Like, yeah, you could break out just from the air outside or touching your air or drinking out of a plastic bottle. I also think to find an empowering bent to this, you're only being asked to do this because you're so superior. Nobody wants to see the office mule
right.
Like, get kicked in the face by a pie. Like, that's super sad. So It is them saying like, you're so much higher up than us. This is our only way to feel empowered. So that should make you feel a little bit good.
Yeah.
You know, really punching down.
I would do it, but I'd be mad about it. You know what I mean? Like, I'd do it, but I'd be like, oh, this is so stupid. Why do I have to do this?
Yeah, I think that there's a way to do it where you don't have to do the whipped cream, but I also think there's a way to this woman might be like a little too excited about it. And, you know, there's also the version of the meeting where you're like, hey, Candace, like nobody wants to do this. Nobody wants to walk around with fucking whipped cream in their hair at a party.
Yeah.
Like it's supposed to be fun. Why are you so into this? She seems like a little annoying. So take all that into consideration.
Hi, Eliza, Emily, and your bi-coastal interspecies, sweetly blended families. Are our me and your families are blended?
Is that you and I were around each other in my house for long enough that our biomes are probably intertwined forever.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm blended into your family. I don't know if the cats are. That's okay.
Everyone likes you
with them
more than me.
That's because I left.
We should do like, what was that Haley Mills movie where they switched?
Parent Trap?
Something like that. And I'll just go live with your mom who thinks I'm great.
She would have such a good time. But she would constantly be like, why don't you put this in your comedy act? This is funny. She told me, she's like, I have a stand-up set. Do you think Eliza would think it was funny? And I was like, no.
Probably.
It was just like,
wouldn't be able to listen.
She went and saw a comedian and then was like, I could do that. You know, she was like, had some wine, probably not some pet gnats, but some regular wine. And she's like, I'm funny. I was like, okay.
Well, I'm glad she had that realization after she left. Unlike people who have it in the show where they're like, I've got something to say. And you're like, this ticket was expensive. So please be quiet.
Shut up. Okay. Yeah. Okay. My Eliza fan credentials are in the top 80%. So let's get to it already. Eliza, with all the flights you've been on, have you ever noticed a prisoner on board? My law enforcement spouse has experience with extraditing felons that are hiding in other states and bringing them back to the state they committed crimes in. Typically, two officers will be flanking the handcuffed prisoner at all times. A towel or blanket will be used to cover up the handcuff so it doesn't freak civilians out. But I personally think it must look strange regardless. As far as my spouse knows, the only commercial brands that will participate in prisoner transportation are Delta and American. Here's to happy and potentially amusing flights. Thank you for helping women speak up for themselves. You've helped this already loud lady get even louder, Anna.
I like that it's the Southern brand and the American brand. They're like, of course we'll participate in the prison industrial complex. We're American. Of course, it's the worst airline. And then Delta, which is my favorite airline. No, but I also may have and don't remember it. But
I just love that you can keep an eye out now. I just think it's interesting.
I always look for the air marshal. Sometimes they have a little pin.
Yeah.
And I always like to know that they're on the plane. But usually I'm too obsessed with like getting on the plane and getting my bag stored to look at anyone else.
I think to be fair, also the prisoner isn't sitting in first class.
I don't want to say any of that, but yeah. I mean, that means, which means they've walked by me and I definitely was looking at my phone.
You need to be looking up. You need to be staring.
And that's the takeaway, girls. Look up. Look up. Let's get to it.
Okay.
It's a top with a cob. We're doing it right every day. You just take a bite, top of the cob.
I'll go first with my top of the cob. My top of the cob is something that's a bottom for a lot of people, but it's this like expectation that women are going to use emojis or exclamation points in email. And I think we've talked about this, and I was chatting about this with someone the other day. I don't mind that expectation, and I use it to my advantage that I put exclamation points because it's not because I'm a woman and I don't want you to misunderstand me. It's because I assume the person reading this is dumb, and that's for anyone reading it. And so having the ability, because when men use exclamation points, you're like, you sound like a serial killer. But I have the ability, just like women can walk in the street holding hands and not be in a homosexual relationship. There are certain things, passes women get. So I use an exclamation point to make it crystal clear that I'm not having an attitude or being a bitch. Because sometimes just regular sentences come off as too adroit. So the ability to use an exclamation point and nobody questions your mental clarity. I like that.
Right. You have that shorthand of, I'm being friendly right now.
Yeah. Can't wait to see. If you just say can't wait to see, like that's weird. So exclamation point. I like it. I like that I can do things like that and cry in public and no one's going to care or question it. What's yours?
Mine is I hit 250 episodes on my podcast Tasteless.
I saw that. Congratulations.
It was pretty crazy. I was like, wow. So I've talked about almost 500 movies on that show. Like, I was like, oh, that's a lot. That's a lot of work. It's kind of like, it's just a hobby. It's like people who do woodworking or whatever. Like mm-hmm. nobody listens, but I just do it. And it makes me feel good to have done it, which is nice to have like an outlet where I kind of, there's not a certain outcome I need from it. You know, like I'm not living off of it. I don't make any, it's just for me.
Like I've talked about 500, but I've dreamt of thousands. I love that. And I think that that's kind of what this podcast is. Like we make money off this and it's, but this is not our, we love doing it. And I think that there's a real benefit to people just doing stuff. Not everything is heavily monetized. Yeah. You genuinely love these movies. And I think that that's an important part of life. I'm very happy for you.
We're about to hit 300 on this in the next few months.
Really? Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, I know that.
This particular top of the cob happens whenever Eliza and Emily talk about Kashi cereal. I'm not sure if I have iron enforced guts or if my veggie intake is just off the charts, but I've never had a problem with any Kashi products, and all the fuss on the pod makes me laugh with amusement. It appears in the whole of the United States of America, Kashi cereal only has love for me. And what I love about that is what a humble brag it is.
She's like, my rectal health is tip top.
Incredible. Yeah.
I mean, I think I abused it. Like, I think at the time I just ate too many bowls.
Yes, that was it.
And it wasn't just regular. It wasn't just regular. It was Kashi. It was the Go Lean, which I don't know if they make it anymore since our lawsuit.
I do worry always about them coming for us, but so far, no.
Yeah.
All right. Bottom.
I have the softest bottom, which is what this segment was designed for. Yeah. Like small gripes, you know, not like global injustices. My bottom of the cob is when you want ice cream or something, but this happened to me recently. Mm-hmm. And then we got there and I just didn't want anything, but you've already like told your brain and your stomach, you're like, we're getting ice cream. And in general, you like mango flavor. So, but like nothing's really speaking to you. And you're like, do I seize this moment to like be a little bit healthier and just be like, mind over matter, I don't want it. No, you get two scoops of two random flavors with sprinkles and you eat both.
Yeah.
But the bottom is just being like, oh, nothing is really speaking to me.
Right. When you're excited for something and then you're like, oh, eh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where fruit's always good. Like if you don't want ice cream, you can always do something light. I ended up getting a vegan mango flavor. And that felt good.
Yeah.
That felt right. And an herbal snow.
Ew.
It's like ices. So it's like, it's just a little bit of sugar. That's okay.
Gross.
There's no herbs. No, the name is bad, but it was tasty. My bottom of the cob.
My bottom of the cob is, once again, cat related. I looked over at Isles. She had a bleeding skull. She had a big gash in her head. Open, bright red. Like, I called my dad like, oh my God. And I sent him a picture and he was like, oh, it actually does look bad because no one trusts me. No one trusts me that something's actually wrong.
I trust you. Yeah, okay.
Right. So she's fine. I brought her in. She's okay. But just to look over and see an open wound on your animal's skull, I was like, oh my God,
yeah.
What do I do? And we went in and it was literally, they're like, I mean, it's... Just scrape the top layer of skin off. We could give you an ointment, but you should probably just keep an eye on it.
I thought they were going to be like, I mean, it's ketchup. You need to keep it on your plate.
No, but.
Well, they can't talk. It's tough. You're just like, was this bad? But you do have, I almost said non-Hodgkin's.
Munchausen's.
Well, that's
it. So when I called to make the appointment, I'm like, can you get us in? And they're like, yes, tomorrow morning. And they go, we don't have to tell you where the parking lot is. You know. I'm like, yep. I come there enough.
I thought that's hilarious. But I was also hoping they'd pick up and be like, Emily, is this really an emergency? You're like, yeah, I need to see the van.
Right. It kind of felt like, yeah, you're good. You come here enough.
You don't have Munchausen's because nobody who has it would have a sense of humor about it. Like Gypsy Rose's mom definitely wasn't like, LOL, like I don't let her get out of a wheelchair. It's totally fine. Right. I know, I'm crazy.
Right. No, I just was like, right. Ugh, why is this stress being added to me? The person who could lead. What's that thing about like, God gives his toughest soldiers, his biggest battles. And I'm like, I'm not the toughest soldier. Mm-hmm. Stop giving me battles.
You don't even have a big battle. What you need is another hobby. Or like a friend you see, maybe even just through a window.
Through a window. I'm trying. Oh, okay, fan bottom.
We got to get you out there. Let me look at your dating app. I've been dying to for years. Let me look at your dating profile.
Okay. The problem is I log in, I do a bunch of swiping, and then I log out. And then 3 months later, it's like, your profile's closed now. You haven't logged in. And I go, oh, right. And I log back in.
Like, it's set to seeking furniture, not men or women. So maybe that's your problem.
Right. If only that was an option.
I'm trying to look at those settings.
Settings. What if my age range settings is just like 80 to 100? I'm like, look, that's what I'm looking for.
It's like, wow, it says 18 to 24 year old, only Puerto Rican men in the greater Mount Racist area, wherever you live in Georgia.
Right. Mount
Racist. Well, you know what? Settings are settings. So your settings are personal. All right. Well, you got to let me know. What's the friend, the fan?
Fan bottom. When it is your birthday and you get emails, texts, postcards, etc. from companies and doctor's offices wishing you a happy birthday. Getting a generic happy birthday email from my dentist, doctor, local auto store. I'm sorry, but it just feels lame and cringy and like a waste of everyone's time. Feral.
It is. Most mail is holiday waste. Mail. Like just letting happy holidays from Honda of Suncoast. You're like, we're good. And what's crazy about the dentist wishing you a happy birthday is like your insurance only covers X amount of cleanings. So it isn't like another company where like, we hope that we wish this to you and then you think about us. The dentist, you can't just go in for fun. Like insurance is insurance if you have it. So that's sad. The dentist is like, look, no one wishes me a happy birthday because I'm a dentist. So I just wanted to put it out there in the universe before I kill myself.
Right. And it's annoying.
Highest suicide rate. That profession.
Dentist? Yeah.
Probably stand-up comics, but yeah, dentist.
Then dentist.
Okay. Well, on that note where you decided to stop talking.
I just stopped. I'm done.
On the part where people obviously tune out because the music is starting. So it's the first week of April. March is merely a memory. That just flew right on by. Turns out having postpartum really clouds your memory. But we're here. We've got a lot of fun new episodes coming up. We love doing this show. I will be performing in and around LA, getting ready to head back on tour. Those dates are about to be announced. I'm so excited. You can see me. If you go to Liza.com/tour, you see the few dates that we have that are not really part of the tour. Like I'm doing a big cancer benefit in Indianapolis in July. You could definitely come and support that. And we've got some fun things. So keep your questions coming. Send us the context. Send us the follow-ups. And remember, it's not a gash. It's a
scrape. It's